This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. أما بعد، ابن القيم رحمه الله continuing the consequences and the punishment of sins gets into what sins does to a human being in terms of elevation and demotion. So he said, rahimahullah, وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا أَنَّهَا تَجْعَلُ صَاحِبَهَا مِنَ السِّفْلَى بَعْدَ أَنْ كَانَ مُهَيَّاً لِأَنْ يَكُونَ مِنَ الْعِلْيَةِ. He says, sins, they have the capacity of demoting, meaning bringing down, lowering the status and the condition of the one who commits it. After he had been given the capacity to be among the highest and the elite. So every human being has that capacity, right? That is within them. Allah Azza wa Jalla had given them the ability to believe, right? And the ability to understand. And the ability to apply what they understand. So if they do all of this, where does that take them? To Allah's mercy. So that's the capacity to be among the highest. So everybody has that capacity in them. We waste it. So how do we waste that capacity? We squander all of those gifts of Allah Azza wa Jal by doing what? We sin. So we lose the gift of belief, the gift of understanding, and the gift of application. So we get demoted because of the choices that we are making. So he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ قِسْمَيْنَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he created or divided humanity into two. عِلِيَةً وَسِفْلَى. Those who are the elite, the top level dwellers, or the top level human beings, and the lower levels. And he said, وَجَعَلَ عِلِّيِّينَ مُسْتَقَرَّ الْعِلِيَةِ. He made عِلِّيِّين, which is the highest levels of Jannah, that's the home of the elite, the home of the best, the home of the highest. That's where they live. وَأَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ مُسْتَقَرَّ السِّفْلَى. And he says the lowest of the low is where the low people go. Right? So imagine if you have a high rise, right? A very crude example, but imagine if you have a high rise. Those who are the richest, where do they stay? At the top levels. Right? And those who are not may dwell or inhabit the lowest of levels, even if they are even allowed into that building. So it's saying if a person is of the best, he goes higher and higher and higher. And if not, he is at the lowest of the low. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَ طَاعَتِهِ لَعْلَيْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And he made the people of his obedience the highest in the dunya and the akhirah. And the people of his sin the lowest in the dunya and the akhirah. Now in the akhirah that is known. That's very visible. So if a person is of the people of the obedience of Allah and he is righteous, he goes to Jannah. Jannah is at the highest. And the better you are, the more that you climb until you reach what? Al-highest Firdaus. And the highest Firdaus is just beneath what? Al-Arsh. The throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the highest of the high. And if a person is a sinner, he goes to the lowest levels of hellfire, and he keeps going low, in so much as he had disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah says, "Inna al-munafiqina fi ad-darki al-asfal." The hypocrites are in the lowest levels. So we understand that that's the case in the akhirah. But he says in the dunya as well. that the people of obedience are the highest, and the people of disobedience are the lowest. Now that's true morally. That's true morally. That's true intellectually. That should be true emotionally and psychologically. But it's not always true physically. Especially in the beginning of da'wah, yeah, the disbelievers could have the upper hand, but that does not last. So see all the stories of the prophets of Allah alayhi wassalatu wassalam, in the beginning, and they are the best, they were not the highest physically. But eventually Allah Azza wa Jal came to their aid and He destroyed their enemy, or He gave them the power to defeat them. So if we find in the dunya that we are not among the highest, what does that mean? That we are not of the people of obedience. Right? Otherwise, we are promised to be the highest. So if we compromise Allah's obedience, we lose that promise. So we're not among the highest. Not intellectually, not emotionally, not psychologically, and definitely not physically. So we're missing something. So the statement of Ibn Qayyim is true. Right? It is that we who have not met the criteria to achieve that greatness or that elevation in the dunya. He continues, كَمَا جَعَلَ أَهْلَ طَاعَتِهِ أَكْرَمَ خَلْقِهِ عَلَيْهِ As Allah Azza wa Jalla had made the righteous the most honorable people, or most honorable of His creation, and the sinful the most demeaned or insignificant of His creation. وَجَعَلَ الْعِزَّةَ لِهَؤُلَاءِ وَالذِّلَّةَ وَالصَّغَارِ لِهَؤُلَاءِ He said, and He gave nobility or honor or dignity to the righteous. So the righteous person, he could be one or very few, but they will have honor and they will die with honor. And He said, and the people of the sinful, the disobedient, they have dishonor, even if they have power. You can see dishonor coming out of their mouths, from their eyes, from their speech, in how they behave with dishonor, and they have shame. They lie and they know that they're lying, right? They commit sin and they know that what they're doing is wrong, but they lie and pretend that that's not the case. But they have to carry that guilt and that shame with them. And he brings the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, وَجُعِلَ الذُّلُّ وَالصَّغَارُ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي Humiliation and indignity will be given to who opposes me. So this is a very predictive statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that it's true then and it's true now. Anyone who upholds the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you mean you follow the Quran, you follow the sunnah, Allah gives you dignity. Right? Even if people assault you, even if people insult you, as they did with Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But as I said, that is what? That's the beginning of it. But eventually Allah changes all of that. And even as they assault, as they insult within themselves, they know that they're the people who lack dignity and that they have no cause to attack you. So it's kind of embedded in them, that realization. But it soon will be external. So anyone who opposes the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will receive humiliation. Sooner or later, but they receive it. So I reminded that some of the Muslims have said, as some of the scholars have reported, that when they would be fighting, the disbelievers, right? And it's a stalemate. And the believers can't advance, and disbelievers also cannot advance, so it's a stalemate. It says, when the disbelievers start taunting Muslims by maligning and insulting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then the Muslims become aware that the disbelievers are going to be defeated soon. Because you cannot oppose Allah in such a way or oppose the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in such a way and your power be sustained. Meaning, know this, that assault on the Prophet indicates their collapse. They're going to collapse. And so eventually it happens that they get defeated because of that transgression. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, if you oppose the Prophet of Allah, you're going to be demeaned. So, now Ibn Qayyim gets to the meat of this. And this is important, so kind of pay attention to this. He says, so whenever a person commits a sin, he will descend one degree low. He will go one degree lower and will continue to go down until he'll be among the lowest. And whenever he commits a right act of righteousness, he will climb one level higher. And he'll continue to do this until he's among the highest in Illiyin. So one sin takes you one level down. And if you keep doing that, you reach the lowest of the low. One righteous act takes you one level up. And you continue to do this, you will be among the highest of the high. وقد يجتمع للعبد في للعبد في أيام حياته الصعود من وجه والنزول من وجه وأيهما كان أغلب كان من أهله. He says the person during his life or during the same day or the same week, he could climb up from certain levels or from a certain angle, he could be climbing up. And verses climbing down from another angle. In the same day, he's going up and going down. The same week, he's going up and going down. So he's saying whatever is dominant, he's of its people. Whatever is dominant, he's of its people. So a person in the same day, you commit a sin, you go one level down. Another one, you go one level down. But then you commit something good, you go one level up. Then a lot of good things, many levels up. So you keep going what? Up and down, up and down, up and down throughout that day. Eventually, which one is dominant? Sin or righteousness? Then you are of its people. That day is a sinful day or a righteous day, depending on where it took you, up or down. The net movement is what? Up or down. He said, فَلَيْسَ مَنْ صَعَدَ مِئَةَ دَرَجَ وَنَزَلَ دَرَجًا وَاحِدَ كَمَنْ كَانَ بِالْعَكْسِ. He says, if you climb a high 100 degrees and you just go down one, it's not like the one who did the opposite, went down 100 degrees and then just climbed one. So there's always mobility, either up or down, but which one is more, right? And he says, and here some people make a grave mistake, meaning they think that all ascension and descension is the same. He says, no. وَأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ قَدْ يَنْزِلُ نُزُولًا بَعِيدًا. He says, a servant or a person may descend to such a level that is greater in distance between the east and the west, or between heaven and earth. So even if you climb afterwards 1,000 degrees or 1,000 levels, it would not be enough to offset that descent, right? Meaning a person could do one thing or say one thing, it would be almost a free fall. No matter what you do to try to compensate, unless you repent, of course, but no matter what you do to try to compensate, it's never be able to make up for that descent. And he brings here the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إن العبد لا يتكلم بالكلمة الواحدة. A person could utter a single sentence or a phrase that he pays no attention to it, and he will fall in hellfire a distance farther between east and west. One thing that they say and throws them in hellfire, they descend into hellfire, a distance greater than the distance between east and west. So he says, then what type of climbing or ascension can offset that? So he's saying, in another way, he is saying, don't think that all sins are the same. Because kind of maybe a person after listening to this, he says, okay, I've sinned here, I'll do something else and we'll be even. Or I'll say whatever and then I'll ask for forgiveness and then we'll be even. He says, don't think that every sin is equal to every good deed, or every good deed is equal to every sin. Sometimes when you really go down, it's so deep, it's really hard to recover from it. So don't look down on any sin and say, oh, that's easy, I'll make it up later. That's what he's trying to get to. Wallahu a'lam. And then he moves on. And this is another good point that I want you, inshallah, to pay attention to. And he says, وَالنُّزُولُ أَمْرٌ لَازِمٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ وَلَكِنْ. He says, descension is necessary for a human being, but I'll tell you the conditions, different types of descension going down. But what he's saying here is that going down is necessary for a human being. You have to go down because we're not infallible. We are forgetful. So no matter what you try to do, you're going to go down. You're going to go down one level, one degree, or two, or five. You have to go down. But he's telling you the conditions and the kinds of dissension and recovery. So he's talking about ghafla, which is heedlessness, lack of awareness, forgetfulness. And then mubah, which is the permitted, and then sin. One, two, three. You're going to descend because of them. But then there is that recovery that follows. What is that dissension? He says, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ نُزُولُهُ إِلَى غَفْلَةٍ. Some of them, they descend because of ghafla, forgetfulness. They just forget. They're too busy with their work, with their studies, with the world. So they gradually start to forget. And when you forget, your heart what hardens because of it. You're distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not doing as much. He's not even talking about sin here. We're not there yet. But you're not doing as much. You're not as good. You're not as sincere. You're not as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, فَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ مِنْ غَفْلٍ. If he is awakened from his slumber, from his sleep, from his forgetfulness, he could go back to the same degree or to a higher one, depending on his awakening. So when you forget, it's like you're going to sleep. And then you will wake up. It says, then you could wake up and go back to the same degree, or wake up to and go to a degree higher, or maybe even a degree lower. Right? Depending on how long you've been away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is a descent. Can someone say, I'm not going to be forgetful? No. So it's necessary for a person to descend. Right? Even if a person say, I'll stay in neutral. Right? I'm not going to commit any sin. Right? But no one can say in a neutral position. No one can say in a neutral position. No sin and no good deed. Or without moving. Because if you're not moving forward or moving higher, you're wasting the time that Allah had given to you. So you're moving backward or lower. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla say, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. A human being is in loss every single day. Unless you're a person who did all the things that Allah talked about. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Unless you do the good, you're retreating. So he's saying here that it's necessary that we will descend. If you're aware of this, then you understand that you need to lift yourself up. Cannot let yourself go thinking that I'm fine, right? If you let yourself go, you will decline. So you have to bring yourself up, awaken yourself. So that's the ghafla. Khala wa minhum. So beyond forgetfulness, you could also do some mubah, some permissible things, and that will bring you a step lower. How does that happen? ومنهم من يكون نزوله إلى مباح لا ينوي به الاستعانة على الطاعة. He says, and some of them could descend because of indulging or partaking of a permissible thing that he does not intend with it, for that to assist him to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's distracting and a wasted opportunity. So compare two people. Two ate the same meal, dinner. One intended to obey Allah with it and one intended simply to be full. Who got the best of the two times and the best of the two meals? The one who intended to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. So as long as he's aware that Allah wants him to do something good with it, he will also restrain himself. He will eat from the halal. He'll eat only what he needs. So his meal is an act of obedience. And he uses it in obedience as well. So he is progressing. Whereas this person who is eating simply to fill his belly, what happens is that he may not be aware that this is for Allah or that there are rules associated with it. He could indulge, he could stuff himself. And the time that he has used to eat is a wasted time. So he descended because of it, compared to the other person. Right? Compared to the other person, he descended. He went down a notch, a level. The other what? No, he's ahead of him. So he says that's a mubah. And of course the mubah, if Allah Azza wa Jal, you're not aware of Allah, well, you are doing this mubah. Not that you have to. Do you have to, when you eat, to eat for Allah's sake? No. What you have to do is eat halal. Observe the rules, the commands, the prohibitions. But you don't have to eat for Allah's sake. But here he's talking about that extra level of the pious, of al-muqarrabun, those who are close to Allah, who could use that and every act of halal to be close to Allah. So he's saying that's a descent. So a person who marries, or has children, or sleeps, and who eats, and he walks, and he comes, and he studies, and he works for Allah's sake is unlike the other who does these things for the sake of the dunya, and then he needs to extract himself from it to remember Allah. Whereas the first person is always in Allah's remembrance. Right? You see the difference between them. And don't say, well, that is so hard that I'm going to dismiss this. No, say to yourself, if it's not possible now, I ask Allah that it be possible tomorrow. Right? You be aware of it. First, you have to be aware that this is a possibility. That this is doable. Because if you're not, if you close that door, you will never be a person like that. But if you say to yourself, yeah, it's a possibility. I could study for Allah's sake, right? I could decide, you know, okay, we're off tomorrow and the day after, but on Monday, if you're going to start work again, I can work on Monday for Allah's sake, right? I could try to make that connection. As long as you know that that's possible, you'll try to do it, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So he says, so this person, when he goes back to obedience, that person who has been distracted by the permissible, when he goes back to Allah's obedience, he could go back to the same level and degree, or may not go back to it, or he could even go higher. Because he could go back to Allah's obedience with a renewed motivation, renewed energy. He got what he wanted from the mubah, from the permissible. Now he comes back to Allah's obedience, renewed, rested. So he could go back eager to do more. That's a higher degree. Or he could go back weaker. You eat and you're too tired, right? Or you're too distracted by the love of the dunya. It's possible. So if the mubah is just simply a time for you to rest and recharge, you could go back better to Allah's obedience. Or if it's a time of distraction, you can go back and you be weaker. So it's possible. Right? So we understood ghafla, forgetfulness, then the mubah. And then sin. And he says, and there are those who will descend to sin, either minor or major. And this person, if he's going to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal, he needs a sincere repentance and a truthful return to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he said, and he's going to here ask a question, is it possible for a person after his repentance to be better than before his repentance? So there is this person, they commit a sin, then they repent. Do you go back to the same degree? Or could you never go back to the same degree? Or could you go back to a higher degree than the one that you inhabited before? Follow me? And that's an important question. Can I go back? Or am I forever held back? So what he's saying here, he's saying, based on what? Kind of he's asking the question. He says, based on the fact that, on the one hand, we know that repentance will erase a sin. As if it's not there. Or maybe also that if you repent, yes, it will take punishment away, but the degree that you were supposed to reach, you are further delayed because of that sin. He says, you know, to give you an example or to kind of illustrate, he says, in the time when you were sinning, even if you repent, that is a time when you were be able or you would be able to obey Allah Azza wa Jal during that time. But you took that time out and you sinned. So even if you repented, that time got wasted. So how can you get it back? So it says the example that he gave is like an example of one who trades with, or, you know, trades with a principal, money. So he trades the first day, he gets the profit. He adds it to the principal. The next day, he trades again with the principal and the profit. He gets further profit. The third day, he trades with all of it. He says, so every single day, what is he doing? He's adding profit, and he's using that profit to trade even further. If he stops one day and he doesn't earn anything, and he just trades with what he had, didn't he lose? Compare this to the another person with him who didn't sin or didn't stop trading, and he kept adding profit and trading with that profit. Isn't he ahead? He says also, وَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ أَيْضًا. He says also, he wants to give you an example of his two people tied both at the same level, and both are climbing a staircase or a ladder. Each, it's endless. That ladder or staircase is endless. And they each, let's say, climb every day one level up. One of those days, one person climbed one level up and the other person one level down. Then the next day, both of them continued to go one level up. How could the next person ever catch up with that first one? Because he had missed one day. Not only missed it, he went one level down. So he's saying, if you repent, could you go back? He says, but you've missed that time and everything that you could have done with it. So how could you ever go back? But he says, but Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, قال حكم بين الطائفتين حكما مقبولا. He said he had this just judgment between those two different opinions. Yes, he could go back, or no, you cannot go back. He says that among those who repent, okay, among those who repent, who will go back to a degree higher than the degree that he inhabited before, and among them who will go back to the same degree, and among them who will not reach that degree of his. And he says, and all this depends on the strength of the repentance and how good it is. If the repentance is strong and is deep and is sincere, it could take him to a level higher than the one that he had inhabited before. And he'll tell you why and what that sin would have taught him, right? وما أحدثته المعصية للعبد من الذل والخضوع والإنابة والحذر والخوف إلى آخره. He says, and what that sin had gifted that person, that sinner, when he repented from it, of humility and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, and return to Him, and caution and fear of Allah, and crying out of reverence. He says, these things, that repentance, or that feeling that is associated with it, regret and shame and dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal, could be so strong that the repentant will go back to his degree or higher, and will be after the tawbah, after his repentance, better than he was before it. And that definitely gives hope, right? That gives hope. As they said about Adam alayhi salam, Adam, after his repentance, was better than Adam before his sin. Adam before his sin was something, but Adam after his repentance was better. So, وَلِهَذَا, and this is fiqh here, not fiqh legal. I don't mean by that legal, deep understanding. So I want you kind of to take it, because you will need it. Okay? فَلِهَذَا قَدْ تَكُونُ الْخَطِيئَةُ فِي حَقِّهِ رَحْمَةً. He says, sin for that person could be mercy. Right? But don't let the shaitan play with you and say, oh yeah, I'm going to sin, it's going to be mercy for me. That's deception. You have no clue if that's going to be merciful or not. But he says, for that person who will truly repent, and you will see what that sin will give him, he says, that sin will be, for him will be rahmah. And you kind of not, you don't really associate sin with rahmah. Right? Sin and mercy, you think, okay, if he's praying, if he's doing this and if he's doing that, great things. That's not always a good thing, depending on what the heart and how the heart is interpreting all of these good things. So he says, sin for some people sometimes is mercy. فَإِنَّهَا نَفَتْ عَنْهُ دَاءَ الْعُجْبِ. Kind of, it rids him of self-admiration. وَخَلَّصَتْهُ مِنْ ثِقَتِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ وَإِدْلَالِهِ بِأَعْمَالِهِ. And it freed him of his reliance on himself and trusting his deeds. Right? And as I was reading it here, I kind of admired the fact that he used this ثِقَتِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ. Kind of, it freed him from him having self-confidence. Because in Islam, and you kind of have, you may think about this question, can we have self-confidence in Islam or not? He say, you're confident in what? You're confident in Allah and His power and His help and His aid. But are you confident in yourself? You're aware of what you have, right? Like I can tell you, can you carry this weight? And you look at it, and you're aware that you can carry it. Then you tell me what? Yeah, I can carry it. But is your confidence in your body that you can carry it, or in Allah enabling you to carry it? In Allah. So after isti'ana, after relying on Allah Azza wa Jal, you go and you try to carry it, and you carry it, and you say Bismillah. But you don't have self-confidence, you have self-awareness, or use whatever word you want to use, whatever phrase works. You're aware of what Allah had given you. You can talk? Yeah, I can talk. Can you give a speech? I can give a speech, inshallah. Are you confident in yourself? He says, not in myself. Because if Allah leaves me to myself, I won't be able to do a thing. So I'm not confident in myself. Who do you rely on then? We don't rely on ourselves. So that idea of self-confidence, if I'm not wrong, is very Western. And it's very Western because they don't believe in a deity. Or if they believe in a deity, they're disconnected from him. So you are your own kind of creator, your own boss, right? Your own guide. So that's why you trust yourself. So in Islam, no, I'm aware of what I can do or not, but my confidence is in Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says here, it freed him from self-confidence, وَإِدْلَالِهِ بِأَعْمَالِهِ, trusting his deeds. And it's more than trusting his deeds. He's thinking that his deeds are so much and so good that I deserve a lot, right? Like when you want to go and propose to someone, what do you have? Well, I graduated from here and I have this home. And what are you presenting? Things that will impress, right? Of course they'll accept me. I'm a catch. So idlalihi bi amalihi means what? Of course I am somebody. Look at what I've done. And then sin comes and does what? Breaks you. Oh, subhanAllah. I thought I wouldn't. I'm not that type of person. I would never do these things. Look. This is my reality. This is my weakness. This is how low I can go. I'm nothing without Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you get taught a reality lesson about yourself, who you are. وَوَضَعَتْ خَدَّ ضَرَاعَتِهِ وَذُلِّهِ وَانْكِسَارِهِ. He says, so it brought him down. It's like the cheeks of humiliation or submission before Allah Azza wa Jal, or at the door of his creator and his master, and made him know who he truly is, and made him witness to his own poverty and how much he needs the protection of his creator and his master, and how much he needs his forgiveness and maghfirah. وَأَخْرَجَتْ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ صَوْلَةَ الطَّاعَةِ. And also it extracted from his heart the militancy of obedience. That صَوْلَةُ الطَّاعَةِ is this attitude that you start to have when you think that you are righteous. And so you become belligerent with righteousness. Right? So, I don't know, you read Quran and you say, look at Muslims today and how they can't even read one page a day, and what type of Muslims are they? It's different from being critical. It's both being self-admiring and also looking at people with what? With contempt. And so you belligerent them, or you become belligerent with your attitude and with your advice. So here it extracts from the heart what? That militancy. So you cannot speak with such confidence or belligerence. You'll understand people are weak. Yes, you want everybody to be better. You'll understand weak, the weakness of everybody, because you understand your own weakness. You couldn't maintain even this. So you stop. So Allah Azza wa Jal saves you from it because of that. وَكَسَرَتْ أَنْفَهُ And it broke his nose. Literally, it broke his nose. He cannot be proud and arrogant. And he cannot see himself better than anybody else. And he made him stand before Allah Azza wa Jal like a sinful person, lowering his head, ashamed of himself, afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking down on everything good that he has done. He knows and understands from himself that he is faulty, that he is filled with shortcomings, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is perfect. He says, as the poet had said, Allah Azza wa Jal deserves all praise and all fidelity or all loyalty, but blame belongs to man, right? Qala, and this is also kind of beautiful, and you need kind of to underlie it. Qala فَأَيُّ نِعْمَةٍ if you are at that level, at that stage, with that recognition, everything we talked about. قَالَ فَأَيُّ نِعْمَةٍ وَصَلَتْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ اسْتَكْثَرَهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَرَأَى نَفْسَهُ دُونَهَا وَلَمْ يَرَهُ أَهْلًا لَهَا He says, so whatever favor he receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will consider it to be too much from him. And he sees himself beneath it, and he's not worthy of it. If you recognize yourself to be this sinful, faulty, shortcoming person, or filled with shortcomings, then if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you anything, you say, that's too much, I don't deserve it. Right? And that's the attitude that should take place. That everybody, if they know themselves, and say, Allah made me healthy, I don't even deserve that. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because you're self-aware. That if Allah were to treat you, and he talks about it now, we'll talk about it soon. If Allah were to treat you in accordance with what you have done, he would take these things from you. Right? So if there is a king and that you've angered this king, and then he gives you money, and what you are so pleased with it, and at the same time you know that it was given because of his generosity, not because you deserve it. So whatever ni'mah you have, you say, I don't deserve it. It's beyond my station, beyond my whatever anything that I could have earned. قال وأي نقمة أو بلية وصلت إليه رأى نفسه أهلا لما هو أكبر منها ورأى مولاه قد أحسن إليه إذ لم يعاقبه على قدر جرمه. He says, and any misfortune or affliction that comes his way, he sees himself worthy of something greater than it, and he knows that his master had been benevolent with him, because he did not punish him in accordance to his crime, not even half of it, not even the smallest part of it. Because if Allah Azza wa Jal were to punish him, the great mountains would not be able to hold that punishment. So if anything that comes his way, he'll say what? In fact, I deserve more. Alhamdulillah that Allah stopped there. Now you see the attitude of most humans, and we are not excluded from that, is the complete opposite. If we receive any misfortune, you say, where did this come from? As if we are what? Innocent and righteous and worthy of every good thing and not a single test. And if we don't receive good things, or the good things that we receive are modest, they say, why not more? I'm worthy of more. Whereas the believer is the complete opposite. But that comes from what? Comes from iman. And when we say iman, what is it? What does that mean even? It comes from iman. It comes from knowing who Allah is and knowing yourself. Knowing what you have done and did not do. And if you know that, you say, well, by what do I deserve to have all these gifts? What did I do? If Allah gives me something, he's more than generous because he gave them to me. And if something bad happens to me, it happens because of bad things I've done. I know all the bad things that I've done. I earned a lot. So that's why it doesn't make sense for a person, if their iman at that time of affliction is strong and that awareness is present, is for them to ask, is Allah punishing me or testing me? But aren't you aware of the fact that we all deserve punishment? We do. So go back and ask Allah for forgiveness. Who are we to ask Allah, oh ya Allah, are you testing me? We're not prophets. Is it Allah just wants to elevate me? You hope so. You want that. And your reaction to that affliction will tell you whether you are being elevated or demoted. You have the power to decide, right? If you are patient and thankful, then you're going where? Up. If you are resentful and rebellious, where are you going? Down. The same test. You either go up or you go down. But we're not so self-righteous that I'm being tested. Or why am I being punished? Why? Don't you know? And if not, shouldn't you inspect for you to understand? So, قَالَ وَإِنَّ الذَّنْبَ. He wants to tell you here something that a person will say, yeah, but I did sins, but some people have done greater things, and how come they're happy and I'm not? And that comparison is a killer. Because you don't understand if the other person is happy or not. And you don't understand if what is waiting for them is much worse, right? And it's about to happen. And Allah is testing both of you to see your iman and to see their reaction. But he's telling you here that the sin, وَإِن صَغُرَ, even if it's small, when you do it to affront or to anger the greatest, who is Allah Azza wa Jal, becomes the greatest sin. Meaning if you're challenging, if rebelling against Allah Azza wa Jal, even if the sin is small, it becomes big because of it, right? Right, now. And he says, وَلَوْلَا, and as if not that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preceded his anger and forgiveness, his punishment, the earth and everybody on it would be destroyed. Because of what? The accumulation of all of these sins. Meaning he's talking about it collectively and individually. If collectively, Allah Azza wa Jalla were to say, I'm going to be just with you, he will destroy this earth. Right? And if, look, just collectively, I'm not talking about it individually. I'm talking about Muslims and non-Muslims. Look at everything that humans are doing today. Look at it. And if you want to be just, would you keep people alive? Or do you say they deserve punishment? I mean, you could be merciful, but I'm just saying just. You say, no, okay, look at how much corruption is being spread. There's more evil than good. Then I judge you. Then I will destroy you. And if you look at Muslims, what would the judgment be? And then when you look at individuals, what would the judgment be? But he say, if not that Allah Azza wa Jal is more merciful than vengeful, Allah is not vengeful, he's more merciful, and he is more forgiving, he would destroy it all. قَالَ وَلَوْلَا حِلْمِهُ وَمَغْفِرَتُهُ, if not for his forbearance and forgiveness, the earth, and that may mean the earth and the heavens, would kind of fall apart. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. Allah Azza wa Jal holds the heavens and the earth in place, so they do not move, they stay in place. وَلَئِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. He says, if they were to be moved or they would fall, no one could keep them in place after Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah lets go of them, they'd fall. Nobody could put them back in place. إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Allah is forbearing and forgiving. So he says, notice how in this ayah, Allah concludes it with two of his names, that he is Halim, forbearing, Ghafoor, forgiving. To tell you that if not for that, they would not stay in place. That these two names and two attributes of Allah sustain the heavens and the earth. And if not, they will be destroyed. And he said also, Allah Azza wa Jal said, in response to the disbelief of some of his creation, he said, تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّى. He said, the heavens are about to break apart, and so is the earth, and the mountains collapse because of that sin, because of disbelief. Like physically, right? That's not figurative. Physically, takadu, they're about to, but Allah holds them back. But they're about to what? Break apart. What is the thing that is breaking them apart? Is that humanity's disbelief. Which tells you that that's the greatest pollutant, by the way. The greatest pollutant, the greatest corruption is humanity's disbelief. than all the other crimes that they do commit against nature, against animals, against other human beings. But the disbelief is the greatest destruction. And he said, rahimahullah, and know that Allah Azza wa Jal removed our parents from heaven because of one sin. One thing that he told them to do, and they disobeyed him. And he cursed Iblis and chased him or removed him from heaven because of one sin. And we the fools, right? We the fools behave similar to this poem. نَصِلُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَى الذُّنُوبِ وَنَرْتَجِي دَرَكَ الْجِنَانِ لَدَ النَّعِيمِ الْخَالِدِ. The translation of it is that what? We do one sin after another. We link one sin to another. And then we hope that we will reach the higher levels of paradise. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla have taken our parents out because of one single sin. Like they did one wrong thing and they got out of heaven. And you do one sin, link it to another and another and another, and your wish is that I'm going to be in the highest levels. She said, that does not make sense. And you should be afraid at times if it's just, it took one sin for Adam and Hawa, Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa, to be removed from heaven. For it to be that drastic, that serious, it could be one of those sins that could be the undoing or my undoing. One. Is it this or is it this or is it that? You don't know. That's why that every sin has to terrify you. And if a sin happens, you really need to repent from it. You can't just let it go. Can't let it go. And he says, well, maqsoodu, he says, well, the kind of the intent of this discussion so far is to say that a person could be better after repentance than he was, and he could reach a higher degree. Or the khati'ah, the sin, could weaken his resolve and his enthusiasm, and it could sicken his heart, meaning it could make his heart diseased. So he could not go back to the same level that he inhabited before. And that is a very real possibility, because that's the effect of sin, that it does make you sin, it makes you sick, and it weakens that resolve that you have. So that's why you find that you have to drag yourself back to doing the right things that you used to do before after a period of forgetfulness or sin. Right? Just like what? Be regular in your exercise, then pause for a week or two or a month, get back to it. What do you find? It's really hard to do that. You have to struggle in the first few days, and then you'll go back to the same routine and rhythm and maybe that same enthusiasm that you had. But that initial phase, that's really difficult. So you let yourself go and you disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. The body becomes sick, the heart becomes sick. How do you drag it back to obey Allah? That's the difficult part. That's a very difficult return. So he says, yes, some people will be infected, they cannot go back. وَقَدْ يَزُولُ الْمَرَضُ, and maybe he will be healthy again or be treated again and will go back to doing what he used to do, to the same station and level that he used to do. هَذَا إِذَا كَانَ نُزُولُهُ إِلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ. This is if he descends to disobedience, a sin. But if his descent into a matter that impairs or damages the foundation of his iman, like doubt, ashukuku wa raybi wa nifaq, like doubt and hypocrisy. So there's that type of descent. It's very hard for a person to go back and ascend again unless he renews his Islam. So that's the final type of dissension, right? Of being lowered to that lowest of levels. There is the minor sin, there is the major sin, and if you remember what we said before, that these two lead to what? They lead to hypocrisy, and they lead to doubt, and they lead to disbelief. So a person could commit, and that kind of, there is this progression. A person could become so forgetful, then they become sinful. And in sin, they could move from the minor sins into the very major sins, into the very, very serious sins, until they start having doubts. And where do doubts come from? Right? You just note the evolution of that person, or devolution. I mean, what's the opposite of evolution? I don't know. Somebody help me. What's the opposite? To devolve, right? So you devolve, and when you devolve, you go from person with iman who prays and fasts, and then a person who kind of misses some of these things, and a person who doesn't want to do these things, then a person, but I have iman, I'm still Muslim, I'm still this. Until then you say to what? Well, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about the Quran, I'm not sure about the Sunnah, I'm not sure about this. So where does this come from? It's a progression. So it's important here, okay, to catch yourself and keep trying to be going up, not going down, inshallah. Let me stop here, because if I go into the next section, inshallah, it's just, we will not have time for it. Let me know, inshallah, if you have questions. Barakallahu feekum. Tafadhali. نعم نعم Okay, so in some versions of the book, Ibn al-Qayyim only quotes that last part. وَجُعِلَ الذِّلُّ وَالصَّغَارُ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِهِ. He doesn't bring the whole hadith, right? بس لا بأس, inshallah, I'll explain it. But, so that's why I've just restricted myself to the last part. But the beginning of that hadith, بُعِثْتُ بِالسَّيْفِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ السَّاعَةِ, I was sent with the sword before the day of judgment, right? So what does it mean, I was sent with the sword before the day of judgment? If you know the history of the prophets of Allah عليهم الصلاة والسلام, the vast majority of them were not allowed to fight, right? So Adam, yeah, Nuh, take Nuh, a very good example. He was not allowed to fight back. Ibrahim, not allowed to fight back. Isa, not allowed to fight back. The only exception that you have is that you begin to have with the Israelites, with Yusha ibn Nun. So Musa, there was no fighting with Musa alayhi salam. Yusha ibn Nun and then other following prophets, they are allowed to fight back. But their message was limited and it was local. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the only prophet who was sent, and he's the last, with permission to use the sword to defend Islam, right? So now, as they've said, they said that Allah Azza wa Jal before, and they even mark it as Musa alayhi salam, but Allahu A'lam. They say, from the time of Musa alayhi salam and before, Allah Azza wa Jal would destroy the enemies of the prophets. He will do it, like he did with Musa and Nuh and so on. Afterwards, as he had legislated the use of the sword, it is the believers who will punish the disbelievers. So now nothing is going to descend, right, as we are the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to punish the disbelievers in totality. We can destroy all of them. That's not going to happen. But what happens is that it's on the hands. قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ. You fight them, Allah will punish them on your hands or through your hands. So that's what it says. I was allowed to use the sword. That is before the day of judgment. Like Allah. Let me know. I'll give you, inshallah, a couple of minutes. Tafadhali. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how somebody reading this could reach a level whereby they're scared, they're not able to do anything, thinking that, okay, wait a minute, if I do this, maybe this will lead to that. So how do we catch ourselves making sure that we still have hope?
No.
This does not lead to depression whereby it's like everything, I have to watch everything I'm doing.
No, you become too obsessed, right, with all of your actions. So how to achieve your question is how to achieve a balance, since we already, so we know the stages of how ghafla and then the permissible acts and then sins and then eventually leading to disbelief and how they could lead to each other, and how on the one hand we don't trivialize, as you said, sins, and at the same time, we don't become so obsessed as everything I need to do, I need to be careful with, because it could lead to this and could lead to that. Of course, the intent of this, his intent and the intent of the Sharia, of course, is not to create obsessed beings where they have to be constantly afraid and constantly worried about every small thing that they do, but rather that they know that they have a forgiving God who wants them to be saved, and he wants to be merciful with them, and he is there to accept their dua and to accept their repentance, and to know that Allah Azza wa Jal will not demand from you at this particular stage what is beyond your ability and beyond your knowledge. So with what knowledge you have and what ability you have, to say to yourself, I want to be better, I want to move higher. So you don't need to obsess. You'll reach a level where you'll be able to catch yourself more frequently doing wrong things. And then you'll be able what be ready then to know that they are wrong and to stop. But maybe at this level right now, the only thing that you need to do is catch one thing, catch two things. So progression, you can't move from where you are right now to perfection, right? You cannot. It's not going to happen like this. So you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to make my sleep now for Allah's sake. And when I wake up, I'm going to be iftar, breakfast for Allah's sake. And I'm going to speak only for Allah's sake. You won't be able to do this, right? Because we're not there. Just like, for instance, I want to give you an example. I tell you, okay, some of us said that some of the righteous people, they used to finish the Quran every single day. Not that that is recommended. I'm just giving you as an example. The recommended is no less than 3 days. But suppose that I tell you every single day, go and do it. Will you be able to? There's no. So why? Because you need to build up to it. Right? So it's the same thing. You can't worry about every permissible intent behind the mubah, the permissible right now. Because we're not at the level where we have would be able to do this. What you want to care about is what? Sin. The clear, visible sin. Stop doing this. And then if you can kind of be more connected to Allah, so there is less ghafla, not no ghafla. Can't be no ghafla, but less of it. You minimize it, right? And then when you do some permissible things, you remember, we mentioned, let me do some more of that for Allah's sake. So if you cannot transition into this, then you'll have the strength, inshallah, to do more, and then more, and then more. And then you will reach an equilibrium, right? A balanced state, where you know what you can do, and what you can't do. And then that's where you will settle. And you'll try to push yourself harder here and harder there. But you know, that's what is it that I can do. But definitely, definitely one, no obsession over every single act and every single word. And this is reserved for those who have reached highest levels of iman, where they can watch all of these things. And second, it doesn't matter if you make mistakes, because you can always come back. And that's what we talked about. If you are regretful, if you are pleading with Allah Azza wa Jal, if you try to be close every time you fall, then you always can come back. And that's what keeps giving you hope. And some of these things, they will take time. They will take time. Some reminders, you hear them 10 times, 100 times, and only after 100 will it actually resonate with you. Some of these things you will try to do, and it will take you months or maybe even few years. And then eventually you'll be able to get it. So as long as you keep trying, that's the intent of it. And as long as you have that awareness of what could attack you and how it attacks you and how it can destabilize your iman, then you know. And then what follows is just the ability to follow through, apply, and then ask Allah for forgiveness for whatever mistakes we do. تفضل يا تفضل صحيح صحيح Uh-huh. الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم. نعم, quality, about the quality of the taiba. No, he is saying that because he's referring, first of all, to a discussion that some scholars have. Can you go back to the same level, lower level, higher level? But I think he does agree eventually with you that it's about the quality of the tawbah. Because it's one single tawbah could give you back to a higher levels than the one that you actually were inhabiting even before that sin. So he is saying that the quality of the tawbah is what matters. So what I think I understand maybe from the beginning of your question is that he could be making it a little hard, right? He's making, especially with reference to the mubah being such a trap. And of course, what he means by all of that is to kind of be exhaustive and to talk to the lower levels all the way to the highest of the highest levels. So he's saying, okay, there is this ghafla and it could take you away. The permissible could take you away. He's not saying don't take the permissible, don't partake of the permissible. But notice how it could have sometimes a counterproductive effect. Just be aware of it. Because he's trying to push people to a higher level where even that mubah is ibadah. And it's not always easy, right? It's not easy. And that's why I said, when you want to focus not from where he started about ghafla and then the mubah, but go to the bottom and try to climb higher. And if a person reaches that higher level, then he'll be watchful of what he says and what he does. But it takes effort. But at least what we want is awareness of it. Is question here, if sin lowers our levels, how do we avoid a free fall to rock bottom? By asking Allah Azza wa Jal to save you, by being aware, right, of what you say, especially if it upsets Allah Azza wa Jal. So you refrain from it. Or if you're doubtful of it, then you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you by refraining from things that upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in deeds. And if you catch yourself, you repent from it and you ask Allah for forgiveness by doing a lot of good to compensate for the bad that we may do, but we are unaware of or we forgot. So you keep doing this and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you power over yourself and over your enemy. So if we do this, then we will survive it bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal and with Allah's help. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us so that we don't fall into the traps of that free fall that you described. So asking Allah Azza wa Jal and being more watchful of what we say and what we do within Allah Azza wa Jal. It says, when we are faced with a test, it could be because we are being punished for our sins. Like, we all know that we are sinful people, right? So when something bad happens to us, it's in part happening because of a bad thing that we've done. It has to, right? Now, but the question here is the intent here. Is Allah angry with me and that's why that thing is happening? Or Allah wants to remind me and wake me up and elevate me, right? So there is no kind of difference or contradiction between, oh, that is happening because of bad things that I've done. At the same time, it's happening for my own good and because Allah loves me. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, no. So I did one bad thing. Because of it, I deserve some misfortune coming my way. But it's not happening to me because Allah hates me. It's happening to me because Allah wants to forgive that thing. Allah wants to teach me something. Allah wants to wake me up. So the net result of it is that Allah loves you and that's why He's testing you. Or Allah loves you and that's why He's punishing you. There's no contradiction between the two. Does that make sense? So, you know, I brought before a hadith in the khutbah that إذا أراد الله بعبده خيرا عجل له العقوبة في الدنيا. If Allah wants good for His servant, He hastens His punishment in the dunya. See? He hastens, it brings His punishment for him in the dunya. So he's being punished and Allah loves him. And that's why He's punishing him. And if Allah, إذا أحب الله قوما ابتلاهم, if Allah loves a people, He tests them. And that ابتلاهم also could be translated as He punishes them. But punishes them for what? Or why? Because He likes them. Because He loves them. Because He wants to remove those sins and teach them a lot of things about themselves and about the reality of the dunya. And will not be able to happen unless they are punished, and that punishment is also a test, and that test is a punishment. Am I confusing you? It's clear, I hope, inshallah. So don't worry about so much as why this is happening, okay? Worry about your reaction to it. Because we all have done tons of bad things. And any one of these things could be the candidate of why these bad things are happening to me. So don't worry about that. Worry about, okay, what am I going to do as a reaction to this misfortune that is happening to me? And if your reaction is good, it was good that that thing happened to you. And if your reaction is terrible, it was terrible that this happened to you. But again, who decided? You. You have the power, with Allah's help and permission, you have the power. It's your reaction that determines it. But people are asking about what? Tell me why Allah did this. Tayyib, you tell me how you're acting and reacting to it, and I'll tell you. Right? Then you'll know. Okay? So you have the power. So just believe the best about your Creator and react the best, and this thing will be better than if you were not tested or not punished. Wallahu a'lam. Let me stop here, inshallah, and we'll see بإذن الله عز وجل next week at the same time. بارك الله فيكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والحمد لله رب العالمين.